Let's just recite the word of God. Say, I am filled with the knowledge of His will.
I am filled with the knowledge of His
will. In all spiritual wisdom and understanding.
In all spiritual wisdom and understanding.
Now, when we are saying these things, I want you to meditate upon them. In fact, shut your eyes so that you will think about those words. Digest it, all right? So let's start again. Say, I am filled with the knowledge of His will.
I am filled with the knowledge of His will.
In all spiritual wisdom and understanding.
In all spiritual wisdom and understanding.
I walk in a manner worthy of the Lord.
I please Him in all respects.
Say like you believe it. Say, I please Him in all respects.
I
want to hear you like you believe it. Say, I bear fruit in every good work. And I increase in the knowledge of God. Once again, say it with conviction. I am filled with the knowledge of His will.
In all spiritual wisdom and understanding.
Declare this loud like you believe it as the word is coming forth this evening.
It meets no hindrance
as it penetrates into my heart.
It brings light
and it brings life to me
in the name of Jesus.
Say it, I receive life
from the word today
in the name of Jesus Christ. Now bless the person beside you. Say, I pray for the fellow. Touch the fellow, somebody beside you. Say, I pray for you,
that you will have understanding,
and you will receive life from this word,
in the name of Jesus Christ.
Turn to somebody else and do the same thing, all right? Tell the fellow,
I pray for you,
that you have understanding,
and you receive the words tonight,
and from that word,
you will receive life,
and you will receive light.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Hey, let's continue praying. Say to the fellow, your confusion is broken
by the entrance of this word.
Say, your obstacles are removed
by the entrance of this word.
Say, you receive strength
to surmount every obstacle
in the name of Jesus Christ.
Say,
for you, stagnation is over.
Because the word is entering your life.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
All
right, let's just give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, we thank you. Just thank Him your own way. Just say, Lord, we thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ. The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good.
All
right, let's continue. It's our school of prayer. I said something some time ago. That's, I think it was last week, actually, on Saturday, and I think on Tuesday. That the things that we are teaching on Saturdays, I feel like we can use them to pray on the following week. We take those things and bring them to the place of prayer. I've been talking for some time about God-centered praying, and I feel so strongly that it's one of the most important things for us to learn in this season, especially because of our environment. Although I say once in a while there's an African problem, I don't know how much of Africans, how many Africans behave like that. Although we're all black people, and black people have a common problem if Jesus has not redeemed them. You know that? All black people, they decrease until Jesus redeems them. So thank God you are redeemed. Amen?
Amen.
Otherwise, I won't even talk to you too. Without Jesus Christ, the servant of servants, that is what they are. And you see it in their mentality, their way of reasoning. That's how it is. It doesn't start when God wants to condemn people to slavery. Doesn't just say, I won't let you prosper. It removes the ability, it removes wisdom. They make decisions, you know, these are decisions of slavery. All right? The Lord is good. So anyway, this point we are making is this, all right? What I'm talking about is that Africans generally have a mentality, who is responsible syndrome. You know, we've talked about it. Everybody's after me. It is not my fault, it's the witch's fault. It's my enemies, the people that don't like me. So we gather as Christians a lot of times focusing our prayers on enemies. The best-selling books in today's Christianity are those ones that deal with your enemies. The biggest congregations are those that gather to fight your enemies, helping them to die, helping them to somersault, causing them to scatter. Those are the things. Now, I'm not saying that we don't have enemies. I keep on saying. I am only saying that for the Christian, your enemies are only as strong as your relationship with your God is weak. That is all there is to it. The stronger you are in your relationship with your God, the weaker your enemies become automatically. Many times people give testimonies that show that they are sinners. Many times my wife has told me stories, people told her, finally they confessed that for after 20 years, it is those our neighbors that have been afflicting us. They are the reasons that we have not done well. That's the reason why my brother was sick 15 years ago. It's the reason why my cousin died 8 years ago. They finally confessed that they are witches. When I hear such things, I'm ashamed for the person. You have just confessed, yeah, you are a sinner. That's all you have done. The only person a witch can effectively, all right, afflict. You have sinned against God, and the hand of God is against you. That is why the witch is having power over you. But we are learning the word of God, and it is teaching us that word, that the enemies are not a problem. That's why the Bible says clearly in Psalm 23, He prepares the table before me in the presence of my enemies. Despite their presence, He anoints my head with oil, and my cup still overflows. Despite their presence, goodness and mercy is still following me all the days of my life. Despite their presence. That's what we're talking about, God-centered praying. So our prayers are not focused on how do we tackle the enemies. Our prayers are focused on how do I walk closer with my God. That's what the prayers are focused on. That's why we're talking about God-centered praying. And on Saturday, I began to talk about the righteousness that surpasses that of the Pharisees in our Habitation of God series. We're talking about the purification of the Spirit. So let us go back there and read again. That is sure, because there's something I want to bring out. I'm going to bring two scriptures that we are going to use to talk today, and we'll be praying with those scriptures. We are reading from the book of Matthew, where the Lord Jesus was speaking, Matthew chapter 5, and he was teaching about the righteousness that surpasses that of the Pharisees. What we'll be talking about in that righteousness of God, in that habitation of God matter, is that God's plan is that we should be the dwelling places of God on the earth. We read from Psalm 114 that we saw that when God's presence is there, the obstacles will move back. All right, His presence caused the sea to part. His presence caused the river Jordan, all right, to stop flowing. His presence caused the hills to shake. His presence caused His enemies, all right, to be overcome. That is when the Israelites were going into the promised land. The Bible tells us that this was how God dealt with them. The people in the land, the enemies of the Israelites, we hear that they are coming, and they will run away ahead. They hear that they are coming, and that was the presence of God, all right? Sometimes the presence of God will come, and then He will send hornets, troubles ahead of the children of Israel into the land that they are supposed to take. And the inhabitants there will run away even before those people will arrive. And that's what they call the presence of God. And that's what we read that from Psalm 114. And then we read from Psalm 132 that what Jesus came to do, as reflected in that prayer of David, was that He wanted to build, that's what Jesus was doing, the habitation of God in the hearts of each one of us on the earth. And we said that when God is inside our lives, many of the things that people call prayer points are actually not prayer points. They get solved automatically. You will notice that when the disciples were on the sea, and the sea was tossing their boats there and there, after Jesus told them to go to the other side, and they were alone, and now saw Jesus walking towards them. As soon as Jesus stepped into their boats, the wind ceased. He did not pray, did not rebuke the wind. He just stepped into their boat. Many of the troubles we have in life is because God is not in our boat. God is not in our home. Jesus said that if a man loves me, he will keep my word. Then the Father will love him, and I and my Father will come and make our abode with him. We live in his house. We live in her house. What that means is that many of the troubles the fellow will have experienced will automatically stop. It will automatically stop. I told the story of one brother, we were at the mechanic together. We were just gisting, waiting for our cars to be fixed. And he told me how an evil spirit used to follow him around. He didn't use the word evil spirit. Because of spiritual understanding, I knew. An evil spirit was following him around. And it was either that spirit was the spirit of death, or it went about preparing a road for the spirit of death. All right? And he kept on having a feeling that somebody is around him. He couldn't see the person. And he had a feeling that he was going to die before a particular date. And then one day he gave his life to Christ. That's what I'm talking about. Jesus stepped into his boat, and that spirit left him alone. He said he did not even remember that matter until long after. He just realized one day that, wait, I've not felt that funny feeling, all right, in a very long time of somebody following me about. And then a few days before the date, he always knew he wouldn't live beyond,
Suddenly people attacked him. They pointed the gun to, at him at close range and fired. But just a few minutes before that, he had taken some actions without knowing that lifted a part of his car, the thing that winds the glass up and down, and that thing blocks the bullet. And the man who was observing, he saw the spiritual play, actually. And the fellow went to the police and testified that I saw them kill the owner of that car. And he turned and said, he happened to have gone to the police station about the same time. And I said, oh, are you talking about my car? I'm the one. They did not kill me. He said, no, I saw them shoot you and you died. And the man was laughing. And when he told me the story, I said, what that man was saying, that's what would have happened if Jesus did not enter his boat. Jesus entered his boat and the storm ceased. He didn't have to pray about it. All right? So what do we need to do? To pray about the entrance of Jesus into our boats. He said, behold, I stand at the door of your heart and I knock. That is, many Christians, Jesus is not inside their boat. Do you understand my point? And that's what we're talking about. How to ensure that he's in our boat. And I've been emphasizing, that is what prayer is about. Prayer is not about your enemies. Don't get up at night facing those who are not facing you. They also think you're an enemy. I hope you understand that. They also think you're a witch. You think you have the monopoly of accusation of witchcraft? So you see, don't worry about those people. You know, I've been saying this again and again and again. Why do I have to keep saying this? You've heard the opposite so much. I mean, if you've been hearing witches after you for 20 years, I need to preach at least 2 years for you to understand that even though they're after you, it doesn't matter. Do you follow my point? What did I say? That's what I wanted to hear. That's what I want to hear from your mouth. What did I say? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. My neighbor is a witch. That's his problem. Or that's her problem. She's the one that's paying money to buy goat and sacrifice. Anytime I buy goat, it's for working. Praise God. It's true. I would never buy chicken that's not feeding me or feeding somebody I love. Ain't buying no chicken for no gods. Do you know what I'm saying? Any god wants chicken, go and buy your own. Do you know what I'm saying? Any chicken I buy is for me and my loved ones. If I love you, I buy you chicken. I'm not sacrificing chicken to anything. So it's the witch that is suffering, not me. You know, just by the way, those who join cult, they try. Oh, real suffering. You know the cause of suffering. You know me, I pray when I like. If I feel like sleeping, I sleep. You know, I keep on saying, they say, your enemies are not sleeping. I say, that's their problem. There's no rest for the wicked, says the Lord. I sleep if I feel like sleeping. The only reason I pray is because I feel like praying. I know men ought always to pray and not to get tired. And I know the things I should pray about. I don't pray out of fear. That's why, when you pay your tithe, devourer will run away from you. I will eat that tithe and wait for the devourer to come. Let us see who will get eaten. I don't pay anybody any tithe or word of any stupid devourer. Devourer has his level. He knows his level. Whether I pay tithe or not, devourer does not come near. Where did you read in your Bible that the reason why Job was not afflicted was because he tithed? Nonsense. If you want to give money, be a giver. Amen? Amen. Want to give money, be a giver. All this, God, I don't pay you now. Come and watch my back. That's why you were that early. I'm not joking. When I say all these things, you are just buying trouble for yourself. Put yourself in a level where the Satan will accuse you uselessly. If I want to eat my money, I eat it. If I decide I'm not giving my money, you can't hold me. It's my money. Is it your own? It's not Satan's money. He can't accuse. He can't say he's a devourer. He's coming after me. In fact, he respects himself. When they asked, have you considered my servant Job? What did he say? No, I don't go near that place. You have surrounded him with the edge around, roundabout. Look, being a Christian is sweet, though. It's all this evil. No, there's one thing my mother used to quote all the time. I don't know the English equivalent. It's in scripture. But she says it's in Yoruba. I don't know the English one. Anyway, literally what it means is that to the sinner, the sinner has been committed to suffering. That's what it means. From the time I was young, he said, Eleshe Lafi Shefu. You know, it rhymes in Yoruba, you know. It rhymes. Eleshe Ishe.
Esha is sin. Esha is punishment, you know, suffering, you know, being under. Me? I'm a child of God, amen?
Amen.
I have been set free, amen?
Amen?
I don't do anything because of fear of anybody. I do things because they are right. Why do I give to the work of God? Because I don't expect the Muslim to give to it. That's it. If I don't give to the work of God, who will? I remember those days. I've left my message now. But don't worry, we'll have to keep talking. I can't fight the anointing. I just have to let the Holy Spirit say what he wants to say. You know, shortly after I came to Enugu, finished, I started working in UNTH, where I still work till now. My wife and I decided I wanted to buy my father a car, just to give him a present, you know. Of course, the car he had was old, and he wasn't earning the kind of money that would help him buy another one. Now, I didn't have the money, like, he just take money. All the money I earned from working in the hospital for one whole year was what I used to buy it. So what were you eating with? I work in the university and the hospital both side by side. So the allowance from the hospital, they didn't even pay me for almost a year. So when they paid the money, after I had been working for almost a year, I just gathered the whole money. I even added some to it and sent to my friend who used to bring cars in. So my wife and I were not discussing. I said, hey, some people will not say, hey, this man has money now. So maybe relatives now want to start pouncing on you. So I was talking to my brother, my younger brother, Deji, who many of you know. Remember that day I was living in Transekulu. So we're driving down. Well, he and I were talking. I said, some people say, I have money now. That's why I bought my father a car. I said, if I say because of that, I will not buy him a car, who will buy it? Do you understand my point? You look around. Of all the children he has, I'm the only one that look like I attempt that kind of thing. Do you follow my point? My younger brother, Deji, was still in school. How many people were working? I said, so if my relative said that, it's because I have money. That's their problem. When you phone me, I won't answer the call. What I'm telling the story is that. So, for me, is that if I don't do it, who will do it? To sponsor the gospel of Jesus Christ, who will do it? Elijah Aliko Dangote. Didn't you hear the first part? What's the first part? Alhaji. I expect his money to go to the mosque. Unless God takes it from him by force. So, I give to the gospel. I give for the propagation of the gospel. Because I believe in it, I love it. I'm not using the money to pay off anybody. I'm not using the offering to pay God off. God blessed me before I had the ability to give. While I was yet a sinner, he was giving to me. I'm not giving anything now because I'm going to get from him. I like the fact that I'm a believer. Some people, you know, say, don't give that man money. If you give him money, your good luck will disappear. I say, why do you go around confessing that you're a sinner? A beggar on the road wants to collect your money. You are afraid. Your good luck will disappear faster if you don't give him money. They say, don't just buy any ring you see on the road, though. Whether they have used the ring to do juju now, you don't know. I don't care. Once I pick the ring, the devil will apologize and leave it. He says, sir, don't be angry. Let me go to the one a sinner will buy. So I buy my ring and wait. Some people, the night before wedding, they are casting out the demon from the ring, from the goldsmith. If I need a new ring, I tell my wife, please, when you go back, help me bring it. I say, bring it. I just wear and pull up. No, cast. The devil wait there. Wait. You will go to hellfire faster if you remain there. So the devil, they won't let you prosper. Try. No, that's my own. Say, devil, you can't. Try now, I'm waiting. Listen, it's good to be a Christian, amen?
Amen.
When you go and preach, don't be preaching to people. Come to our church. Never go to our church. Say, okay, you are suffering. And that's why you can't live like unbelievers. You have to live freely. You go to a village, you are afraid. I say, there's someone, but don't touch that mango. There's one juju man used to stay under it. If the mango is in the public square, eat it. The only reason why you shouldn't touch mango is if it's in somebody's private compound. You shouldn't be a thief. Those who are sinners are suffering. They are suffering. You, as a believer, you are enjoying. Like one of our brothers wrote one article, and that we are publishing our next edition of this, our magazine. He said, we are the lucky ones. Yes. He said, we are the lucky ones. What does it mean? You know, maintaining one woman is cheaper than maintaining three women. Do you know that? If you're a married man, say amen. If you believe it, say amen. You know, it's cheaper to maintain one woman than three. If I have to buy an expensive phone for a woman, it's just one. What if to say I get two babes where they hide somewhere? I know those babes are the useless ones. They will now be calling you, say, no, I don't like that one. Something my wife can't tell me. So, you know, I'm the one that's enjoying. Do you understand my point? Yes. I'm not, I don't have to hide anything. Oh God, righteousness is good though. Righteousness is good though. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. One day my brother-in-law, you know, we traveled. God, Israel, when will I get to my message now? One day we traveled. We were in my in-law's place. So my brother-in-law, my wife's a younger brother, wanted to help. You know, he helped me wash some of my clothes. So afterwards, so in the evening, just came. I said, Bros, may I see you? So I'm like, what is it? I was seeing my wife, just come to the side. So he just quickly passed a set of earrings and gave it to me that I found in my pocket. Earrings. Do you understand? He found earrings in my pocket. He was helping me wash. So I said thank you. So where we're seated, we just left, went to the next sitting room. And my wife was seated in the other sitting room where we were for. So I just swung the door open. I just said, baby, see your earrings we're looking for. Do you understand what I say? Literally, my wife was looking for the earrings. She didn't know where she kept them. So apparently one day she just said, please hold it for me, and I collected them and tossed it in my pocket. So my brother-in-law was helping me watch the trial, and I found the earrings. He said, maybe bros don't go, you know. So while he was watching, I called the earrings. I just said, hey, okay, see your earrings, though. Where did you find it? I said, oh, I think I found it in my pocket. Wow. See? If it was the other kind of person, you know, he would say, you first check who really owns this one. Is it? The Lord is good. The Lord is good. Oh, we are the lucky ones. Believe that, say amen.
Amen.
I know a man who, rich man, senior manager of one big bank in Nigeria, and one of the, you know, in Nigeria, there are branches that are, those of you are into banking, you know what I'm talking about. There are branches that are the branches. Like when you have a branch near main market in Onitsha, you know, that's a branch. If you have a branch near the port, you know, that's a branch. Branches where on a daily basis you do 1 billion naira in turnover. You know, billions, if not one. The one I'm talking about. That's where this man was a manager in Lagos. Those are the people that taught me not to fear, not to love money, because I saw how they used to make money without sweating. Those days when dollar was hard to come by, somebody would call him and say, manager, please, I have $100,000 I need to sell. Are you interested? So wait. He will call somebody else and say, I have $100,000 to sell. He knows that person needs dollars. Just by sitting in his office, okay, pay the money into here in the US, okay, you pay it into my Naira account. The guy could rake in 5 Naira, between 2 and 3 Naira on each, you understand, each dollar. Sitting in his office. On the $100,000, that's 300,000 Naira. You know, that's a lot of money. Except I remind you that I, as a post-NYSC medical doctor, was earning 5,000 in a month. Do you know what I said? In the whole month. 5,000. I'll just do phone call, like 300K, it don't balance. That was when I said, God, I will never struggle in this my life. Let's make an agreement. I will follow you, you will make me. If you say poverty is my portion, I will take it, I won't complain. But to struggle for money, God forbid that. Money you struggle for will never bless you. Just do what is right, obey God, and God will bless us in this season. That was when because my colleagues were doing three jobs. to get 15,000 in a month, they will now be putting 10,000 naira aside on the car they want to buy a 70,000 naira car after 7 months. And you see them walking, like when they're walking on the road. All the troubles of this world. Because he wants to drive a car. And I said to God, please, he will not bless me. Let me be poor. No, I said it to God. But this kind of struggle, not my portion. I rejected it too. I saw that men who were enjoying this life. I was there, you know, I was in the center. You make one or two phone calls. Okay, yes, it goes to make a few phone calls. For making the phone calls, I remember the one I'm talking about, 35,000 naira. They didn't steal. Legitimate business. That is seven months of Ebola exposure. Ah. Do you know my point? No, look at this Ebola. No, be nurses and doctors are key for Nigeria. It was nurses and doctors that died from the thing. Those who are trying to help other people. I remember I stitched wound with my bare hands once because the man was bleeding. And I got the key person. That is bare hands. No gloves. The man was bleeding. Somebody stabbed him in the back. I had to stop the bleeding. I stitched his wound with my bare hands. I won't do that today. For how much? 5,000 naira a month. Oh God. Thank you for deliverance. Yet men will just be, just talk. Ha! So I came to one conclusion. I have realized that the race is not to the swift. The battle is not to the strong. So favor is not to men of understanding. He said it is time and chance that happens to them all. When we look under the sun, if you look from above the sun, he said it is God that shows mercy. So I said, God, what do we do so you will show us mercy? He said, follow me and I will make you. I said, thank you. So where are you going? He said, okay, come here. I go there. Then one day they say, Pa, go to Enugu. He said, by the way, before you go, marry this girl. I marry her. I said, let's go. So that's why I realized, especially after I now got the scripture, Isaiah chapter 66, verse 12. It said, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. I said, that one, I will never beg and I will never be poor, and I will go anywhere. So when I was living in Lagos, they said, money is in Lagos. There's a line. Money is wherever God sends me to. He said, go to Enugu. Off to Enugu we go. The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. I digress into that, trying to explain the fact that we are the lucky ones. Like that, my brother wrote that article. We indeed are the lucky ones. All right? Okay, so you remember, I know where I took up my tangent. Trying to explain the fact that we are not centered on the devil. It's those who are in cults that are suffering. They are the ones that have to offer sacrifices. Buy goats. He says white with beer. Before they find the white goat with beer, their problems have killed them. You know, boy. My own goat with all the beer necessary was sacrificed on the cross of Calvary. You understand what I'm saying? Yes. Yeah, so if you say you need goat, I say go to cross of Calvary. Say you need turtle dove, cross of Calvary. You need money, cross of Calvary. Any offering you need, go to Jesus and collect it. And that's what I mean by we are the lucky ones. We are not praying because of the devil. We are praying because we want to be better related with our God. Matthew chapter 5. We read this on Saturday. It says, for I say to you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Now remember this. We said that it is by this righteousness that God is able to dwell in our hearts by faith. It's by righteousness. We said there are two types of righteousness. There is a positional righteousness which we attain to because we have faith in Jesus Christ. But we said specifically, that was not what Jesus was talking about here. Here, he did not lower the standard for us Christians. If anything, he heightened the standard. The difference is that he gave us the power to obey him. Are you getting my point? The law came by Moses. Grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. What does that grace mean? Grace is God's power that's available to those who are willing to obey him. That's it. You know, he said that Ezekiel was speaking in Ezekiel chapter 1. He said, such was the appearance of the glory of the glory of God. When I saw it, I fell, all right, on my face. And then I heard him say to me, saying, son of man, stand on your feet that I may speak to you. He said, when I heard that word, this I like to comment on it all the time. This is somebody who could not stand by himself. This was somebody who fell because of an overpowering influence. How do you tell such a one to
to stand to his feet. Do you understand my point? And God saw his heart that he wanted to stand. So the Bible says, Ezekiel was speaking chapter 2 now. He said, the Spirit entered into me and set me on my feet when he spoke to me. And then I began to hear him speak to me. That is what happened was that God saw that this man cannot stand by himself. So that word, stand to your feet, was not advice. It was not a request. Do you understand my point? It was a command. It was like saying, let there be light. So what was he saying? Let Ezekiel be on his feet. Do you understand what I'm saying? And then the Spirit entered into Ezekiel and stood him on his feet. What are we saying? That's how it is. This righteousness of the Pharisees, if we are going to attain the one that surpasses that of the Pharisees, we will attain to it. We must attain to it. But what we have as an advantage for because of our faith in Christ Jesus is that we have the Spirit of obedience that enters into us and sets us up on our feet anytime we hear a word that is difficult. Are you getting my point? Like I like to tell a story like this. If you ever read the story of Corrie ten Boom? Corrie ten Boom, she went home to heaven some years ago. You know, she was a Holocaust survivor. All right, she was in concentration camps and she survived. But she saw the Jews. She was a Jew. I don't know whether she was a Jew, but she was a minority, one of those people that was put in the camps. And her sisters died there. Then one day after, she was going around in Europe preaching forgiveness. Preaching forgiveness. You don't understand what they call suffering. You know, she suffered. If you know what the Jews went through in those camps, she suffered. All right? They were treated. Listen, they used to use human beings as experiments, you know, for experiments. So what will happen if we remove a man's eye and remove his nose and, you know, things like that? You just collect a few of them, do that to them, observe them. There were doctors like that, they were experimenting on human beings. That thing was more than, look, you wouldn't treat animals worse than those people were treated. Once you show any sign of weakness, they kill you. This woman was there. She saw guards beat her sister to death. Then she went around Europe preaching forgiveness after the war. Preaching forgiveness after the war. Preaching forgiveness after the war. Then one day a man came up to her and said, oh, that was such a powerful message. And stretched out his hand, said, well, I was so blessed by it. Stretched out his hand to shake her. And she recognized him, one of the guards in their camp. Hey! She recognized him. She had been going around preaching forgiveness. Preaching forgiveness. She said, God, this one passed me. Then she began to pray. And next thing you knew what, her hand got up and shook the man. Do you know what I'm saying? Shook the man. I don't know the details of the story. But that was when forgiveness poured out of her into him. Jesus would not say, you know, I know you've been treated badly. You don't have to forgive. He said, forgive. He said, but I can't. Say, I know. You can't. So what are we going to do? Then you will turn and ask for his help. Then he will pour forgiveness into you. And then suddenly you will be an oasis of love and forgiveness. And people will look. They won't be able to understand. How can this woman forgive that man? For everything that she did to him in that camp, how could she do this kind of forgiving? This is the kind of forgiveness that spoils this world. But what am I talking about? That's what we mean by grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Jesus will not take any excuse from you for why you can't obey him. And there's a major reason why he won't take that excuse. We'll look at it in a moment again. So we are reading this again. So Jesus was saying to us, our righteousness must surpass that of the Pharisees. We talked about that on Saturday. Like I said, I'm not preaching the message again. And he gave a few examples. You have heard that you must not murder. And I say to you, you must not even be angry with your brother. Hey, don't kill, we can understand. I won't buy a gun, I won't go near a knife. I will keep my distance from him. Is that not good? That way I won't kill him. Is that not so? I won't kill him. But he said, listen, you must not even be angry with your brother. Okay, we'll listen. What are you talking about? Because anger, I can do it from a distance. Even if I'm in New Zealand and it's in Nigeria, I can remain angry. And Jesus said, that is the righteousness that must surpass that of the Pharisees. You must not let anger stay in your heart. He said that you have heard, thou shalt not commit adultery. He said, oh boy,
Don't say man body no be firewood. You can't look too much with your eye. Say, but God never touched. He said, it doesn't matter. Once the thought stays in your heart, you have sinned against me, if you're a believer. That's what Jesus was saying. Now say, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Say, I know. I'm saying that righteousness that you are in Christ Jesus should purge your heart so that the thought of lust cannot stay there. And he kept on talking, giving examples. The commandments of Jesus Christ were tough. Tough. But the good side about it, like we said, is that he didn't just bring the commandments. He brought the power to obey them. Let's read the other scripture. Hebrews chapter 4. Quickly, let's go there. Remember, it's our school of prayer. I know what I'm doing. I'm not, like I said before, we are taking the things that we have learned on Saturday, talking about the teachings of the Word of God on this in this area. We're bringing them to the place of prayer. All right, the Lord is good. So, the book of Hebrews chapter 4. I explained this to us before. Just go over it again. This book of Hebrews, I said there is a book, there is a progression from chapter 1 down to chapter 4 here. Chapter 1 was talking about the supremacy of the gospel of Jesus Christ and his person. And then chapter 2, he explained the fact that we have to be careful to obey the words that we are hearing through this gospel. In chapter 3, he began to tell us about those who disobeyed the word and what happened to them. He explained that they could not enter into the rest because of unbelief. And then in chapter 4, he now was amplifying the fact that we have to therefore be careful so we can enter into the rest of God. How do we enter into the rest? I wanted to say, how do we enter into that rest? He said it's by obedience. Disobedience means we can't enter. Obedience is the way by which we can enter. And that's what we're talking about again today. Obedience can be difficult. Remember the story I told just now? Corrie ten Boom has suffered under the Nazis. And one of them came to her while she was preaching forgiveness. And came to... The man did not even recognize her. I mean, who will he recognize? There were so many of the slaves and guinea pigs that they were dealing with. He didn't recognize any one of them. Alright? So, but she came. So he came to her. This time around, she had to obey the word of forgiveness. The word that says, love your enemies. Do good to those who despitefully use you. And she had been preaching that word. Suddenly, she had to obey. If she did not obey that word, she would not enter into his rest. I talked on Saturday, gave an example of R.J. Lotonou. Lotonou was dealt, a brother dealt with him fraudulently, let's put that word. Demanding money that it was not his right and threatening to sue. And he had right on his side. He had the law on his side. He had morality on his own side. So he told the man, go to court. We'll meet in court. But the Holy Spirit said to him, give him the money. Listen, that's not easy. And that's what Paul was teaching us in the book of Hebrews. That it happens that we get to a point that obeying the word of God is difficult. Forgive, there are things that are hard to forgive. Listen, let's not deceive ourselves. There's no point trying to be strong. Like they have a saying in Western Nigeria. They say, it's a person whose war has not yet met that calls himself a man. Do you understand my point? That you say, I'm a man. It's because you have not seen war. That when you have been to war, you know that, oh boy, when they do ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta in your ears, those who have been there, they know. So, are you getting my point? And that's what happened to Peter. Peter said, I will never, for what? To the king, you know how much I love you. Jesus said, I understand all of you. Now, he wasn't angry with Peter for loving him. He was warning Peter that this your self-confidence will not get you far. That's what he was just telling him. So, he had to demonstrate to Peter that no matter how good you feel about something, life can still be hard. So, Hebrews chapter 4 here was now saying to us that whether life is hard or not, it cannot be used as an excuse. Because Jesus came, went through the hard life, and solved the problem of disobedience through a particular method. And he's teaching us that same method. And that was the method by which he carried the disciples into the garden and said, for me, this is my own level of temptation. I said to us before, temptation has different levels. There are temptations of steal that food, don't steal that food. You know, touch that woman, don't touch that woman. That was not Jesus' level of temptation. These are temptations you cross early in your Christianity. Do you understand? You know, a man came to me once and, They overpaid me. This was years ago when I first came to Enugu. They were paying some money to us, those of us consultants there. And then they paid me money that was not my level, all right? If I was supposed to get, just as an example, if I was supposed to get 100 naira, they paid 200 naira into my account. I know it was in hundreds of thousands, so it was a lot of money. So I now went to the accounts department and said, wait, I have a problem here. This is not my level, this is money that I was paid. So the man said, okay, he was planning to come and see me. So he said, I should come. So he started walking. He said, yes, he knows that. Actually, the money then, the overpayment was 400,000 naira. This was many years ago. So he said that there's no problem. There's no problem that they will solve it. I should just give him a check for 200,000, and then I can keep the balance 200,000 naira. So that the whole thing will go away. I can shake it. You know, there are some things I do not consider. Do you understand me? It's not as if I'm such a righteous man, just that some things are stupid. Do you get my point? So I'm bringing an issue here. So temptations have different levels. For Jesus Christ, those were not the levels of temptation. He went through that. I'm not saying he did not, but he went through it early. He went through those things early. They wanted to make him king. Those are temptations also. But those are but then the depth of the level of temptation for him was that we know the will of God, but it's difficult. We know the will of God, to do it is difficult. That's the depth of temptation. I know what is right to do, but my flesh does not want to do it. So what do we do? God will not say, because of that, you will now not do it. No. He said, what do you do? He told his disciples, come, let us go and pray. And he said, pray that you do not enter into temptation. He went in there three times. He said the same words in prayer. And we're back to it. It's prayer. That was how he obeyed the will of God. He said, if it was possible, let this cup pass over me. All right? He said, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. After I prayed that again and again, the Bible says angels came and strengthened him. That's why I said to my wife and Joy then, when we were watching Passion of the Christ in our sitting room a few years ago, and I said to them that it was not paining him. All that beating they were giving him, I said, this was not very painful. He said, what do you mean? How can I say this is not painful? I'm not saying that the pain, the lash was not tough. I'm not saying these Roman soldiers were not, you understand? They were not brutal people. I'm just saying that the man that's been beaten had gone to the garden and had come out of the garden. The suffering was inside the garden. When he bled without anybody touching him, as at now, he has strength from above to handle all these things that he's handling. How did he get the strength? What I was talking about. He went to his garden. Are you getting my point? He went to the garden. He didn't just say like Peter, I will never deny you. If Peter had understood, he would have said that everybody will leave you, you will be alone. Sir, please, as we are leaving you, can you draw me back onto you? Do you understand my point? That would have been, Jesus would have given him a word that would make sure he couldn't leave. But say, no, me, leave you for what? Just watch me. I never trusted this Thomas. He's still, you know, doubting. As for Judas, he still won't let him stay with anybody. John is too young. He's a small boy. He never see tough times. You know that kind of thing? No. He tried that, and Jesus had to prove to him that by strength shall no man prevail. Are you getting my point? You cannot do it by your strength. That's why we're talking about prayer. So prayer is the way by which we obey this word, this righteousness that surpasses that of the Pharisees. That's why we're talking about all of these things. So I said you should open to Hebrews chapter 6, all right? Okay, good. Let's just quickly read it. So he said, this is how I handled it from verse 14. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. I'm reading from the book of Hebrews chapter 4. He said, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, who is that? Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. The confession is of the truth that we know. He said, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in time of need. That time of need, we said before, is not the time I need a car. That time of need is not the time I need a wife. It's not the time I need a child. It's not the time I need more money. No, that's not what I was talking about. It was talking about the time that obedience to the revealed will of God becomes difficult. Remember, we are praying about the righteousness that surpasses that of the Pharisees. So if your name is Corrie ten Boom, and you get to the point where you have to obey God and shake the hand of a guard who killed your sister. I was reading a book somebody lent me last week by one man called, the story of one man, Samuel Doctorian. Once he went to Suriname to go and preach. He said, very powerful, there's this move of the Spirit. Powerful. Except at the hotel they put him to sleep in. He said, he didn't know what the things were. Whether a lizard or whatever. I talked to myself, I said, maybe it's war gecko. The man is not used to war geckos. The things were crawling inside his room. And flies were flying inside. And mosquitoes were flying. And he was wondering that, God, why would you do this to me? That he couldn't complain about the people. Those people were not rich too. They were poor people. And so he understood. So he said, but one thing he understands is how to cry to God. So he prayed and prayed and prayed. When he finished praying, suddenly peace dawned upon him. Then he got up. He looked at the war geckos. They were looking so beautiful. The war geckos were looking so nice. He started inviting the mosquitoes, come this side, come and fly on this side. That suddenly, his perception to things changed. The mosquitoes did not change. The war geckos did not change. The flies did not change. The man changed. See, all this it's obvious you're not filled with the Spirit. Because like somebody said, many of the things you have now, kings did not have it just 100 years ago. Kings. Yet you sit in the midst of it, like a mosquito. Why? Because you are not filled with the Spirit of gratitude. The Spirit of God is not in you to let you see things differently. Told the ones I went to church in Lagos. Before I went that day, I was wearing white. And it rained. And of course, Nigerian road, not these modern roads now that we have all over the country, we thank God for it. The bus passed like this, you go jump so that they won't splash mud on my white starched linen. I remember it was white. It was starched. It was linen. And I will enter Covenant Christian Center for the first time. Not now. Small, very small church at that time. And I saw after a while, the man of God came up. That's Pastor Poju that we all know now. Just one young man that looked just maybe by my age group, maybe a little older than maybe a year or two. Yeah. And the man picked up his microphone. We have a message here now, inheritance inside the new man. And he began to preach. Oh, that tape is 1 hour, 30 minutes. The message that day was 2 hours, 20 minutes. They didn't catch the last bit of it. This man preached until I could not sit. I was twisting in my seat. This is the story. When I was going back, this I was walking. That is, I didn't care again. No, that white linen, don't splash with mud. I said, splash. This is your opportunity. You won't have it for a long time. Be splashing it right now. Because I heard the word that says, when you read the scriptures, you'll understand about the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. That any time you go through the sufferings of Christ, watch out, you're about to step into a kind of glory. I said, Jesus. The first person I heard teach the word of God, and I understood that suffering is not always a lack of faith. Sometimes a phase of life. When I came out, I was walking recklessly. That one, if you splash mud on me, I will have blessed you. Thank you for that mud. Are you getting the point I'm making? That is, listen, when you are filled with the right spirit, your reaction to things differ. But our message is on this prayer thing. How do we get that spirit that makes a Corrie ten Boom shake the hand of a man she hated? How do we get that spirit that makes a Samuel Doctorian look at an inconvenient, uncomfortable hotel room and suddenly begin to love it? How do we get that kind of spirit that makes Algie Lutono give money to a man that was extorting him? Knowing the word of God is the first place, is the first thing. Second, Paul said here in Hebrews chapter 4, that we should hold on to our confession. Then third, he said, draw near
to the throne of grace and obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. I've been saying it again and again, and I say it one more time today. That is the main reason Christians pray. Satan cannot do anything to you if you will obey the word of God. The only thing he tries to do is to cause you to disobey it. He will explain to you. At least even God will understand. He is mindful that we are but flesh. You know, Satan knows how to quote. So, Madam Corrie ten Boom, even if you don't forgive him, God knows this one is bad. Okay. Last week, the man who stole your food, did you not forgive him? You did. The man who slapped you on the road, did you not forgive him? You did. This one, even God will understand. That's what Satan does. He knows that once you don't obey, you cannot enter into his rest. How do you don't know? You want to give him that money? Why should you give him? They will take you for a fool. This business place, they will know that you are an idiot. Everybody's going to come and start suing you recklessly. Even the pastor, go and report him to the pastor. They will side you. They will be on your side. At the end of the day, when you agree, you have disobeyed. God said, what should you do? Take those words. Take those words. I told you, don't. When God gives you words, he doesn't want you to obey them. He wants you to bring them to prayer. The Bible says when you approach to God, take with you words. Take those words with you to prayer. Righteousness that surpasses that of the Pharisees. This is how we walk into it. That's how we walk into it. We take those words to prayer. And Jesus gave us a very good example. Like that one, he said that, do good to them that hate you. Pray for them that hate you. Do good to them that despitefully use you. So, if you are despitefully using me, I won't just use force. I say, let me just do you good. As I'm doing this good to you, God will punish you. you know that attitude? No, God doesn't want that. That was if you are willing and obedient, you will eat the fruit of the land. You are not willing, you are just obedient. You won't eat any fruit. You won't eat any good. It has to be willingness with obedience. You will not, when you say do good to the man, it doesn't mean wish him bad but do him good. That's not what he said. Wish him well while you are doing him good. Jesus looked at those who were persecuting him, killing him. And he looked and said, don't hold this thing. No, it was this guy that said that one, Stephen. Jesus said that, give me the words of the Lord Jesus about that. Father, forgive them, thank you. For they do not know what they are doing. And in case you do not know, when Jesus prays, God listens. So when they say, Father, forgive them, God brought forgiveness. Anybody who wants, my son said, I should give you. All those who were judged were those who rejected the forgiveness. From the bottom of his heart, he said that prayer. That book we're reading, Samuel Doctorian, he said that, now he's Armenian. His father, I don't know whether his father or his grandfather, his father left Armenia. Alright? His father was saved while the Turks were wiping out their whole family. They were cut women's hands and then dumped them in the well. That was how they killed them. The only reason why his father was saved was because his name is Doctorian. And that's because his father is a doctor, his grandfather. Alright? So he said that his own father was a little boy in the house. So one of the soldiers, one of the Turks, took his father and hid him in a cave because his father was kind to him. That is, the doctor man was kind to this Turk. So he hid one of the children. Everybody else in the family was wiped out. Beheading people, cutting off hands, and carrying people who were alive and throwing them into the well. Those who did not kill, they drove into the wilderness, that is, into the desert. Thirst and hunger killed them. Slow death. When God wanted to anoint him, one of the things God told him is, forgive the Turks. For what they did to, because he was not there, it was his father that was there. God wanted this man to forgive what he did to his father's family. That's what we're talking about, prayer. That is not using prayer to chase your enemy. It's why you won't go find life. Because you are wasting time. God wants to anoint you heavily. He said, all this evil that has been done against you, and instantly your head starts counting it. Forgive. Forgive. And you're like, how do I forgive that? Okay, I will forgive, but I can't forget. God says, forget. Say, okay, God, sin, you have not crossed the line. How am I supposed to forget? And you wonder, why is he saying forget? It's simple. Because he has the power to help you do it. He does not hold you responsible for not being able to do it. He holds you responsible for refusing to tap into the power to do it. God doesn't give you a commandment that he has not empowered you to obey. So that man prayed, ah, God, you want me to forgive the Turks? So he prayed until forgiveness came out of his heart for the Turks, and he was not able to pray for them. That is what Christians do with prayer. The righteousness that surpasses that of the Pharisees. It's so easy these days. Let me just really warn you ahead of time. Don't learn this nonsense they are trying to teach us, that Christians can divorce their wives. We refuse to learn it. You know what I'm saying? It's because you have not married a wicked woman. I'm not talking about wickedness or niceness. I'm talking about obedience to the word of God and Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16. That no matter what you do to me, I will drag you to the place of prayer. And as I'm kneeling there, I'm saying, whatever God has joined together, let no man put us in that. That is, I'm angry. That's why I'm doing like this. But the Bible says, hold on to what? Your confession. So I hold on to that confession. I will do that until my heart starts to soften. I told you before, Jesus prayed 3 times. Why did he do like that? He finished praying, he came out. As he was about to come out, breeze blew on his face. He said, we are not ready. Went back inside. He looked at the disciples, pray. The kind of temptation that is coming. They were sleeping. That is when Christians pray. Please, we are talking about God-centered praying. Forget all this enemy. When they told the disciples, don't preach again, they went and prayed. God, make sure we are not scared of them. Help us to preach with boldness despite their threats. It did not even cross their minds to ask God, please save us from their trouble. Or they said that while we are preaching, stretch forth your hand to deliver, to heal. Do your miracles while we preach. Give us boldness to preach. What is summary? We don't want to disobey you. So when Jesus is giving, listen, as I said, don't learn bad habits. I'm angry the way Christians are trying to, please, I don't mean to cast any aspersion on anybody, but please, some of our prominent ministers are trying to make light of divorcing our wives. We understand your pain. Listen, the number one person that can run you mentally in life is your wife. So I understand that. I've been married for 15 years. So if I tell you that, believe me. And I married a good wife. And I can still tell you that. What about those who married bad wives? Do you know, I look at it sometimes and say, how are they coping? They have fire, thank you. Some people are suffering. Some men are suffering. When you read in the news that one American man just took a gun, shot his wife, shot all his children. Don't think, what is wrong with him? Say, Father God, I draw near to the cross. I obtain grace, mercy. In Jesus' name, I won't shoot anybody. One woman in America took a gun, waited for all her children, killed them one by one. They went to police, said, my children are dead. I killed them. Nothing was wrong with her mentality. She was okay. She was just frustrated. Frustration. So we know that pressure can exist in life. That's what I'm talking about. But we don't, because of our pressure, justify our disobedience to the word of God. We use that pressure to run to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. We run into our own garden and say, our righteousness must surpass that of the Pharisees. I want us to pray. Because as I was talking,
The one word that was strongest in my mind, both before I came, then I forgot for a while, then suddenly it jumped back into my mind, was the word forgiveness. Many people, to forgive is hard for you. And listen, it's not your fault. I understand. But what have I come here to say this evening? To let you know that no matter how hard it is, there is a grace you can tap into that will make forgiveness easy for you. Where we struggle as Christians is that place of prayer. We don't struggle outside. Jesus did not struggle on the cross. Once he left the garden, it was done. The rest was autopilot. But in the garden, he fought his battle until he won. God-centered praying. We will pray now with just one thing in mind. You will dig inside your heart. If you have nobody you're angry with, just be there and be thanking God. And be receiving strength for every general purpose of life. But for those who are angry with people, let me say this to you, no matter how justified you are, that thing is hindering your progress. God's presence is keeping away from your heart, from your home, from your career, from things that pertain to you because you are justified. Yes, that is, yes, you have a right. No matter how justified you are, it does not change the word of God. He said, your righteousness, if you want to enter into my kingdom, remember I said the kingdom of God is not heaven there. It's when heaven comes down to the earth. The kingdom of God is when heaven comes down to the earth. Just like we don't call France a French colony. God doesn't have to tell us kingdom of heaven. No. We're talking about the kingdom of God. It's on the earth. He said, the kingdom of God has come upon you. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. He said, you cannot enter into that kingdom except your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees. And my message today is that the only way it can surpass is not because we are strong in ourselves, but because we know how to tap into the grace that makes us do a righteousness that surpasses. It applies in every aspect of life. Sometimes God says to you, time to leave what you are doing now and start pursuing something else. Say, how do I do that? You know, I have children, they are going to school. This thing you are saying I should start now, it may take 2 or 3 years to get off. Don't just be bold, just get off. I'm going to grab, go by force. No, you rush to the garden and kneel down there and pray. If it takes you 6 months, remain there until you can come out with confidence. When Jesus came out of the garden, he was ready to face all the beating with confidence. So many areas. But my emphasis for this evening is on forgiveness. Let's ask for our feet and begin to pray. There are 2 kinds of people you are angry with. One is a set in which they didn't. You thought they did you something. They didn't do anything. You have no right. There are some you have no right to be angry with. I'll give you a few examples. My uncle did not help me. Why should he help you? Some are angry with their father. You think it's his fault that he was poor? Some people are angry with their fathers. As if it's a man's fault that he was poor. If I had gone to school that time, he didn't have money. He used to drink a lot. He was possessed by a drinking spirit. If you don't stop, that spirit will possess you. Go and read Ed Cole. Ed Cole says the law of release is forgiveness. Listen. Many women who are angry with their fathers for what they did to their mothers marry men who do worse to them. And they don't know why. The way my father treated my mother, I will never take it. So they marry one gentle, jolly, nice bobo. Then he gets possessed by the spirit of affliction that's chasing them around. He gets possessed by that spirit. And they don't realize that they held on to that spirit because they were angry. So Edco says, how do you spell release? When Edco wants to spell release, he said release is spelled F-O-R-G-I-V-E-N-E-S-S. That's how to spell release. If you read Edco's books, that's what he says. That release is spelled forgiveness. The first set of kind of people that are angry with people, angry for nothing. That's why I call angry for nothing. It's foolish anger, stupid anger, ignorant anger. My uncle was a minister. When I was looking for work, that was when he should have set me up in the biggest banks. That's foolish anger. You have no, that one, you have no rights to that one. That's first set. The second set are the ones that you really have a right. It was not your fault that you were coming from some place alone and two men gang raped you. That's not your fault. You did business legitimately. Waiting for your money. The guy took it and ran to America. You've been waiting for him to just die in that America. The guy has refused to die. That's the annoying part. In fact, he has now built a house. Hey, God, the man you should be killing, you are blessing. That's the second set. But whichever one is yours, please, you have 5 minutes. Let's begin to pray. First, he said, hold fast your confession. So what is that confession? It's the word of God. And that word says simply, love your enemies. Do good to them that despitefully use you. That's the word of God. So the first thing you begin to recite those words, say, Lord, I know your word. It says, love your enemies. It says, love your enemies. It says, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. He said, Lord, you have commanded. That's the first thing, though. It's not just to say, I forgive. Start repeating after me. Say, in the name of Jesus, I believe the word of God that says, love my enemies. I love my enemies. The word says, love my enemies. He said, do good to those that despitefully use me. I receive that word. That is the word of God. He says, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. He said, those who have sinned against me, I have the commandment of God that I must forgive. I have the commandment of God that I must forgive. I have the commandment of God that I must forgive. I have the command. Just be repeating the word of God to yourself. Those commandments are important. How can we keep our way pure? It's by keeping that way according to his word. So he said in the book of Hebrews chapter 6, he said, let us hold fast our confession. What is that confession? It is the word of God. Say to yourself, this is the word of God to me. Love your enemies. Forgive those who despitefully use you. Say, this is your word to me, Lord, and I receive it. I hold on to that word. You have commanded that I should pray for those who persecute me. That I should pray for those who killed my cousins in the north. That I should pray for those who destroyed my father's business while he was in Maiduguri, or in Kaduna, or in Kano, wherever those riots have been. So this is the word of God, I receive it. Now listen to verse 15 of Hebrews chapter 4. He said, we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. That weakness is inability to obey. But one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet he did not fall for the temptation, he was without sin. So what you are going to confess against the Lord, I recognize that you, my Lord Jesus, are my high priest. And you understand my weaknesses. You understand my pain. You understand what I have been through. You understand how I feel. You understand my weaknesses. You understand my pains. You know what I have been through. You know how I feel. You know I have been hurt. You know what I have been deprived. You know I have been how I have been persecuted. You know these things. And I know you can feel my pain. Now say to him, say, now I draw near to the throne of grace, so as to receive mercy. I receive grace right now to help me at this time. Now begin to forgive those people. Mention their names. Whether you feel like it, you know, just begin to say it. Mention the fellow's name and say, according to the word of God and according to the grace of Jesus, I forgive this person. I pray that God will heal him, that God will send his gospel, the gospel to him. That he says, pray that the Lord will send laborers into the harvest. Say, Lord, I pray that you will send the gospel to him. Jesus died for him. Jesus died for her. Jesus died for them. Jesus died for them. Lord, begin to mention their names. I forgive them. I forgive them. I forgive him. I forgive him.
I forgive her. I forgive her according to the word of God. Not according to my feeling. Not according to my feeling, but according to the grace of Jesus Christ. I tap into that grace right now. I tap into that grace right now. I tap into that grace right now in the name of Jesus. I tap into that grace. I tap into that grace. I tap into that grace. I receive the ability to forgive. Say, Spirit of God, flow through me in forgiveness. I open my heart. I open my spirit. Open my soul. Spirit of God, flow through me in forgiveness. Flow through me by your power. Flow through me in forgiveness. I forgive according to the instruction of God. Like Corrie ten Boom forgave that God. I forgive. Like Angelo Tono obeyed the word of God and gave to a man who was trying to defraud him. Say, Lord, I receive the ability. I receive the ability to walk in the righteousness that surpasses that of the Pharisees. I receive the ability. Everybody, whether it's your own is forgiveness or not, use that same principle. You need to obey the word of God somewhere. Use that same principle. I receive the ability to go to the cross. I receive my ability to face my own cross. In the name of Jesus, I do not yield to the flesh. Nevertheless, say it loud to God, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. In the name of Jesus, I obey your will. I forsake my own comfort. I turn my eyes away from my comfort. I focus my eyes on my cross. And I walk into it. I walk towards it with boldness, with confidence, in obedience to the word of God. Not by my own power, not by my own might, but by the Spirit of God I do this. Not by my own might, not by my own power, but by the Spirit of God. Let us declare this together as we begin to round up the prayer. Say, I have a high priest who has passed through the heavens. Jesus, the Son of God. Therefore, I hold fast my confession. I hold fast to the word of God. I hold fast the instructions of the Lord Jesus Christ. I do good to those who hate me. I forgive those who offend me. In the name of Jesus Christ. Say, my high priest is the Lord Jesus Christ. He can sympathize with my weaknesses. Because he was tempted in everything. Just like I am being tempted. Therefore, I draw near to the throne of grace. I draw near with confidence. I obtain mercy. And I find grace to help. In the name of Jesus Christ. Say, no matter how difficult it is, I have forgiven. Because the love of God is shed abroad in my heart. Say, I have the Spirit of Christ. I forgive him. I forgive them. I forgive her. I forgive everything. Because the presence of God is now with me. Now say this, I can do all these things. Because Christ is in me. And he strengthens me. Let's begin to give him thanks. Just say, Lord, we thank you. Say, Lord, we thank you. Say, Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you. Say, 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 Lord, we thank you. Just thank him because he's good. Thank him because he's good. Thank him because he wants to dwell in your heart. That he wants to make you your own, his own habitation. Say, Lord, I receive you into my heart again. I receive you into my life. Oh, say, Lord, I love them. Let me just give you an instruction quickly. Let me give you an instruction quickly before we leave here. Once, one of my friends, you know, he had just been talking to me about their family. Then one day, I didn't even know, you know, later on, you now start to understand that was the Holy Spirit. You know, I didn't know those things. Like, something in my heart was just saying, like, you need to talk to this man. He's angry with his father. So one day I traveled, I just said, oh, boy, we need to see you. We were just being on the road. I went through everything. I said, look, you need to forgive your father. I think he didn't cross his mind until that day that he was angry. It was when I finished, he said, I needed to hear that. And what are you going to do? It's not just, okay, I forgive. That is true. It's right. All right? I like what the pastor Paul used to say. He said, forgive. And he now says, give.
and it shall be given unto you. He said, so, forgiveness is that thing you do before you give. Do you understand my point? So I told him that, listen, this is what you do for your father, and I'm giving you as an instruction now. He said, I don't have much, but he has a phone. You can buy him 200 naira credit. It's not for him, it's for you. Are you getting my point? When you give it to him, it's not for you. It's not really for him. You are releasing yourself. Once I went to where to go and preach. In fact, and I look back, I said, that guy is the reason why we came to do that program. He came from a neighboring village. He heard I was coming, and he came to see me. What was his issue? He said his father is not behaving like a father at all. That I need to talk to him now before he does something very terrible. This is a summary of it. When he finished telling me everything, I told him we are not serious at all. Whatever your father is doing doesn't concern you. If he takes his money, collects a millionaire, sets fire to it, and starts smoking the smoke, it's not your money. I said, what do you do? He said, I'm a farmer. I said, what do you farm? He said, I farm poultry. I said, good. Every weekend, when you are leaving your farm, pass by your father's place, drop half a crate of eggs. It's not too expensive. You can afford that. He was looking at me. Periodically, a festival will come. Dress, you know, two birds and give to him. I don't mean wear butter and and singlet, whatever I mean. You know what I mean by dress? You kill, roast, do everything, go to him. I said, Christmas comes. How much did they sell one drum of paint? Buy, pay one boy to go to the house and just give it a coating. I said, this is how you get blessed as a young man. I said, do that and you will prosper beyond your imagination. I'm telling that story again so that everybody here will take instructions from it. Call your father and greet him. Send him a recharge card. I was telling you just now about how I bought my father a car, you know. Oh, you have money. But that was not the first thing I bought one. The first thing I used to be buying for my father was Hings. You know, Hings, set. Men's briefs. That was what I could afford. Then things stepped up until I could buy clothes. And then one day, I got paid money. It was enough to deposit for a man who bring me a whole car. That is how people forgive, not just by mouth. So I'm giving you an instruction today. You say, I don't have much money. Go to the market, get a barrow, push barrow for 2 days for that purpose. After that, you can return to poverty if you want. Are you getting my point? Find work to do. Like I keep on saying, should I say yes? Go and sell 10 copies on campus. Don't worry, you make 200 naira on each copy. That's 2,000 naira. Then buy 1,500 naira recharge card and send to your mother. You have started. When you begin that, hear ye the word of the Lord. Doors will open for you.
Amen.
Yes, doors that have been closed, that's why they were closed. No witch is after you, that's where the witch is at. The doors of unforgiveness. That's how the witch blocked your progress. That witch you have been chasing. That's why you've done everything that has not gone away. Freedom is your portion in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Father, we give you thanks. Because you are good. Your word is liberating. Your word is liberating. Thank you for liberation tonight again. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.